Today is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. On this day in 1611, the crew of English explorer Henry Hudson mutinied against him. Hudson, his son, and several other men were set adrift in a small rowboat, never to be seen again. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the graphic nature of these crimes, listener discretion is advised. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. Today we're covering the mutiny against Captain Henry Hudson, who was hired to search for the fabled Northwest Passage from the Atlantic Ocean to Asia. The voyage proved disastrous, and Hudson never returned from this expedition. Let's go back to Canada's James Bay on the evening of June 22, 1611. Henry Hudson, captain of the Discovery, spent the night charting a passage westward from his cabin. An expert topographer, he'd made a name for himself in 1609 when he discovered and claimed the island of Manhattan for the Dutch. But his current mission was proving far less fruitful. The Discovery set sail from England on April 17, 1610, marking Hudson's fourth expedition. Their journey to the New World was swift enough, but finding the elusive Northwest Passage was proving more difficult than he'd anticipated. After sailing into the vast expanse of the Hudson Bay, the ship spent fruitless months zigzagging across it, searching for a way to reach Asia. Hudson knew that if he found the perfect route, he could drastically shorten trade routes to the continent and give England control of the surrounding area. But at three times the size of the Baltic Sea, the Hudson Bay was unyielding. The crew feared it would be impossible to find the passage before weather conditions turned hostile. Sure enough, by November of 1610, the exploration came to a standstill. It was winter in the Arctic, and the bay froze over. The 70-ton ship was left surrounded by sheets of ice too thick to sail through. Hudson was forced to make a decision: stay aboard the ship or go ashore and build shelter on the unfamiliar terrain. Hudson, who was stubborn to a fault, eventually complied with his crew's wishes to go ashore. The land was sparsely populated and food was hard to come by, but the crew made do. With supplies dwindling by the day, Hudson made the unpopular decision to enforce food rationing. The move infuriated his men, many of whom were sick with scurvy. A rumor that Hudson was hoarding food for himself, his closest allies, and his teenage son soon spread. It further alienated him from the rest of the expedition. To make matters worse, he reportedly refused to make a deal with a local trader in exchange for provisions. Little did the captain know, that decision may have cost him his life. Tensions continued to grow between Hudson and his small crew all winter. By June, however, hope was in the air. The ice that had sealed their ship in the frigid bay was finally melting. The Discovery would soon be free to set sail once more. Given their unexpected delay and the harsh conditions they'd endured, the surviving crew members assumed the expedition was over. They had no doubt they'd use their remaining provisions to return home to England and resupply. But their captain had different plans. Henry Hudson was determined to stick to his orders no matter what. He resolved to continue sailing west until the Northwest Passage was found. The crew objected. There wasn't enough food for an indefinite excursion, and morale was at an all-time low. Captain Hudson ignored their pleas. He was relentless in his pursuit of the passage. He wouldn't let any mishaps tarnish his reputation as England's most valued sea captain. The qualities that made him such a successful explorer ultimately led to his undoing. On the night of June 22nd, crew members Henry Green and Robert Jewett led a mutiny against Hudson. Late that evening, the captain was forced out of his quarters and onto a small shallop boat. Within the hour, Green and Jewett rounded up all of his known allies, his teen son, and any crew members too sick to survive the journey home. 9 men in total were forced onto the shallop and set adrift in the icy waters of the Hudson Bay. But Hudson, an expert sailor and explorer, was not about to give up so easily. Coming up, the mutineers are pursued across the Hudson by their former captain.
Every so often, something so impactful happens it has the power to capture the attention of a whole country. An event so deadly or dumbfounding, it has no choice but to live on in infamy. Hi, Parcasters. It's Ashley Flowers, and I'm exposing the most sinister cases from the darkest corners of the globe in my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, come along as I guide you on a wicked world tour. 15 different countries, 15 infamous crimes. Take a trip to Iceland, where 6 people confessed to a murder that never actually happened. Journey to Mexico, where a lucha libre wrestler moonlights as a serial killer. And travel to New Zealand, where 2 friends hatch a deadly plan to become famous. Each episode of International Infamy explores the twists and turns of a notoriously high-profile case, zeroing in on the cultural details which make the crime unique to its location, and explaining why it couldn't have happened anywhere else. Follow my new Spotify original from Parcast, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers, and catch a new episode every week. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to the story. On June 22, 1611, sailors Henry Green and Robert Jewett led a mutiny against English explorer Henry Hudson. The men had been pushed to their limits by Hudson's relentless drive to continue a doomed expedition. The mutineers marooned Hudson, his son, and 7 other crew members by setting them adrift on a shallop boat in the middle of the vast Hudson Bay. Roughly 20 feet long, the vessel was equipped with oars and a single sail, but none of that deterred Hudson from chasing after his captors. Dwarfed by the discovery, the shallop nevertheless pursued the massive ship with Hudson at its helm. The 8-man crew, most of whom were feeble and sickly, kept pace with the discovery for several days. But once the mutineers hoisted more sails, Hudson was left in the dust. He and his men were never seen again. When the discovery returned to London with no captain and only 8 surviving crew members, an inquiry was immediately launched. Henry Hudson was not only a lauded explorer, he was an asset to the English government. Hudson and his contemporaries were key to acquiring foreign land and securing new routes for trade. The survivors were swiftly put on trial for Hudson's murder, which was punishable by death. The case relied on the testimony of the survivors, as well as the journal entries of a crewman named Abacuc Prickett. Prickett named Henry Green and Robert Jewett as the leaders of the mutiny, both of whom had died on the voyage back to England. Their deaths were convenient for the surviving mutineers, who upheld Prickett's account. They claimed to the court that they had been forced to participate in the mutiny against their wills. In the end, the survivors were acquitted and cleared of all charges. While Prickett's journal and the crew's testimonies detail a very respectful mutiny in which Hudson was marooned with an adequate supply of blankets, ammunition, and provisions, this was likely not the case. Bloodstains on the Discovery's deck have long caused historians to suspect that Green and his men actually murdered Captain Hudson. Other explorers searched for Henry Hudson in 1612 and again in 1668, but to no avail. To this day, historians can only speculate about his fate. His navigation and survival skills led many to believe that he found a home among the indigenous peoples of northern Canada. others believe he perished soon after being marooned. Henry Hudson was the first Englishman to see the Hudson Strait, as well as the vast Hudson Bay, both of which bear his name. His work paved the way for a lucrative fur trading industry, which flourished for the next 200 years. New York's Hudson River, the town of Hudson, as well as the Henry Hudson Bridge, all pay tribute to his monumental legacy. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound design by Paul Libeskin, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Bruce Katovich. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Katie Burris, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells, and fact-checking by Anya Bayerly. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley Flowers, and here's a quick reminder to check out my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, I'm taking you across the globe to look at 15 of the most notorious crimes from 15 different countries. Some stories are sure to shock, some may leave you stumped, but all are quite the trip. Follow my new series, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.